It was a disaster. There's no other way of describing it. A disaster and a nightmare. That's how I think this week that we call Holy Week could be described. As we try to enter into the life of these early disciples of Jesus who experienced this incredible week with Jesus, what's the context of their experience? These are people, these disciples, these followers of Jesus had started following Jesus a few years earlier. They had felt energized by his call. They lived and believed in his dream, in his vision, in this kingdom that he was talking about. And they began to follow him, and they let go of a lot of things in their own lives. They left their towns, they left their villages, they left some of their families at times to live into this ministry of Jesus, this ministry of teaching and preaching and healing. And as they began to journey with Jesus, they saw that not everybody was responding to this message. Not everybody was responding to Jesus. They saw people opposing the message. People who didn't want to have their lives perhaps changed or transformed, but wanted to stay with what they knew and what they had. Because Jesus was challenging to something different, challenging people to change their lives. And so they knew that there was some opposition. And then this past week, they enter into Jerusalem, which we celebrated last Sunday on Palm Sunday. The feast of the Passover was upon them, and so many of the Jews would go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover meal. As they enter into the city, they see the opposition mounting. Jesus knew it. There's even references in the scriptures to Jesus saying how he knew what was ahead of him. And I'm not so sure that that means that, oh, Jesus knew the future. Jesus was divine, therefore he knew what was to come. I'm not sure that's a fair interpretation. I think Jesus could read what was going on. Jesus could see the opposition that was mounting. But in the midst of that, he continued to journey, he continued to walk, he continued to live into the vision, into the dream, into the kingdom of God. But the disciples, I'm sure, were beginning to realize this is not going well. Then they gather together for the Passover meal, which is the reason they came to Jerusalem. These followers of Jesus who had shared a few years of ministry together. And while they're at this meal, one of them walks away. One of them betrays them. Can you imagine the pain of that? Being in relationship for these many years, and all of a sudden one among them just walks away and betrays Jesus. It was a shock to them. It wasn't like they expected this to happen. You know, there's references in some of the gospel readings of Jesus saying, one of you is to betray me. And it's not like they all said, oh, it's Judas. I mean, they had no... What they really said to each other was, well, who? Who could it be? Imagine the pain of that, the disaster. You know, they've come to Jerusalem, opposition is mounting, they have this meal, and one of their own betrays them. What a nightmare. That betrayal leads to the arrest of Jesus, which leads to the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross. I don't think humanity has ever discovered a more horrible way to put someone to death than crucifixion. It's a horrible way to die. And they see Jesus die on the cross, and well, many of them didn't see Jesus die on the cross because they ran away. Total disaster. They walk away, they run away. It has all fallen apart. Where is the dream? Where is the vision? Where is the kingdom that Jesus has been talking about? And I would propose to you that this gospel reading we've just heard this morning, they're still in that place. The gospel reading says that Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. She wasn't going to the tomb because she expected the resurrection. She went to the tomb probably to do the rituals of the Jewish tradition of a body that is in a tomb. She gets there, it says, and she can't find the body. So she runs to the disciples who are in hiding, and she captures Peter and John, and she says to him, the tomb is empty. And it says in our gospel reading today that Peter and John run to the tomb. And I propose to you, they're not running to the tomb because they expect the resurrection. They're running to the tomb because they're probably saying to themselves, what more could happen? Now the body's gone. What a nightmare. This can't get any worse. It was a disaster. But notice what our gospel reading says today. As they get to this incredibly low point in their lives, a sense of rejection, betrayal, hurt, pain, loss of vision, loss of meaning. In the midst of that, they begin to discover new life. They begin to discover this Jesus still among them. They begin to discover Jesus calling them to new life. In the midst of that loss, in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that disaster, in the midst of that nightmare. That's the context. I find it interesting in the Christian tradition that as the story has been told for 2,000 years, that they didn't wipe out that part of the story. You know, you think they could have said, well, Jesus loved people and he healed people and, oh, he died and then he rose from the dead. And you too can share in that life. That's not the way the story was told. They included this nightmare. They included this disaster. As a matter of fact, we spend a week talking about it. That's what Holy Week is. I also find it interesting that when you think of the 2,000-year history of Christianity, wherever we have gathered for prayer, wherever we have gathered for worship, there seems to be an image that is always before us. An image that seems to always be before us. And it's that, the image of the cross. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that the early Christians, the symbol was not that of an empty tomb? Wouldn't it be something if up there we had a cave that was empty or a tomb with a stone rolled away? Wouldn't that be a nicer message? But the church gathered has always placed before it a cross, which I find very interesting. And here at St. Paul's and in many churches, we gather in the shadow of the cross. And here at St. Paul's, you can't miss it. You come into our parking lot, we've got a cross at the circle. We've got another Celtic cross at the other end of the circle. We have our cross here. We process in procession behind a cross. If you look over at the chapel, there's a cross outside the chapel. There's a cross inside the chapel. The cross stands before us. Carl Jung once said, transformation happens more through images than concepts. Transformation happens more through images than concepts. We can talk about life, we can talk about things, but images speak to us very powerfully. And this image of the cross is before us. It calls us to something. It calls us to live the life that Jesus lived. Sister Joan Chittister, a Benedictine sister, a Benedictine nun, who's also a spiritual writer, once said, there are things worth living for, even if we have to die for them. There are things worth living for, even if we have to die for them. And in many ways, the dream, the vision, the kingdom that Jesus came to preach was what Jesus lived for, and he was willing to die for it. He was willing to so live into that dream, live into that kingdom, that nothing was going to get in the way of it, not even the cross. And it was a sign to us, if we are going to live into this dream, into this vision, into the kingdom of God, we too will face some challenges. Thomas Merton, probably my favorite spiritual writer, has probably had the greatest influence on my life, talks about the true self and the false self. And that the spiritual journey is about our walking and journeying to discover our true self. Because so often we surround ourselves with a false self. As we go through life and face the cross, face the pains, face the rejections, face the betrayals, face the losses in our lives, sometimes we want to buffer them with things that somehow make us get through it. And we can begin to surround ourselves with things that separate us from who we really are. And that was the message of Jesus and the challenge of Jesus, to let go of those things, to live into the true self. In many ways, my own spiritual journey is a journey towards the discovery of who I am, to try to see myself as God sees me. And very few of us get that chance to see ourselves as God sees us. That's the journey. God sees us in such a different way. I believe God sees me in ways that I can't even imagine. And I think that's true of all of us. And so the message of Jesus in many ways is to live into that true self. Jesus was always saying to people in many ways, Can you see yourself as I see you? I forgive you. Forget those things. Jesus is always forgiving people. Let go of those things that keep you from the true self, the self that I see. In many ways, that's the journey. And Jesus lived into that journey. And that's the message to me of Easter, that we are called to continue to be transformed, to let this image of the cross be a reminder to us that we do have things to live for, and at times we have to die for them. And there are things in our everyday life that we die to as we come to discover this true self that Jesus was calling us to see. Sometimes we can think of Easter, the resurrection, with an understanding that, well, Jesus died and rose from the dead, and someday when I die, I'll experience that too. Good for me. I'm not sure that's the fullness of the resurrection. I think the resurrection, the new life, is available to us now as we go through our lives, as we can live into that true self, as we die to that false self and begin to discover that true self. And that is a lifelong journey of dying and rising, of dying and rising, of dying and rising, of dying and rising. And the resurrection of Jesus is saying to us, and when you die, that's not going to stop. This dying and rising you experience through your lives will continue. Death will not take it away. That life is available to us now. We can walk that life now. We can see not only ourselves in our true self, but see the world for what it is. The Christian message is not just a selfish ticket for me to get to heaven. It's not a selfish way for me to live into the kingdom. But for all of us, and for the world, to see the world as God sees it, to see the world as God created it, to see ourselves in the midst of that world as well. The cross stands before us as the symbol of the way we get to that new life as we journey together. May we continue the journey, continue living into the dream, living into the vision, living into the kingdom of God, believing it, even in the midst of our difficulties and challenges. But see that Jesus walked through it, and we're called to walk through it as well. And at times when we get to the lowest points of our lives, like those disciples, there's an opportunity for new life. Think in your own life of the times in your life where you've had some incredibly challenging times of betrayal, of loss, of hurt, of pain, of suffering. There was also opportunities for transformation. And that, to me, is one of the powerful messages of Easter. May we continue forward, living into, as Thomas Merton says, that true self, the self that God sees, the self that God created, the self that God wants us to see. And may we continue to live into this wondrous life, this wondrous journey, this wondrous vision, this wondrous kingdom, this wondrous life that God wants all of us to share.